You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
And views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, we're delighted that you are here, and I'm delighted to be here. Now, those of you joining us for the first time tonight, a special welcome. Glad to have you, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great, great habit to get into. And once you get the habit, I hope you will share the habits, sort of spread it around and give it to all of your friends, neighbors, family, and even enemies. It's a good habit to have, real good habit to have. One of the things that I've been telling you about, a lot of you have begun to take advantage of. It's absolutely free, and that is UpSnap. And UpSnap is the service, the free service that allows you to listen to the Kevin Smith Show on your cell telephone. The service is free of charge, and you just sign up for it, like if you sign up for Hotmail or sign up for Gmail or you sign up for Yahoo, well, you sign up for UpSnap. And then you can listen to the show via your cell phone. And so virtually any place you go, you would be able to listen to the show, and that's a good thing, absolutely free. Now, here's what I would like. I know that many of you have signed up for UpSnap, and you have been using it, and because we get the reports back how many people signed up for it. They don't tell us who signed up, of course, and we don't need to know, but just how many have signed up. And a good number of you have signed up. And I want to congratulate you on that, but I would like for you to email me and tell me what you think of it, okay? I have no way of knowing unless you tell us. So if you will, just email me. Send your email to host, H-O-S-T, at kevinsmithshow.com, and let me know what you think of your UpSnap service, all right? Now, I will not use your name on the air. I may read your email on the air, but I will not use your name without your permission. But please, send me an email. Let me know what you think of UpSnap. Now, one other thing is the K-Files e-zine. I mention this all the time because we have new listeners every night. We have a free weekly newsletter. That free weekly newsletter is called the K-Files e-zine, and I'd like for you to be getting it, but I can't force that to happen. The only way it can happen is for you to decide that you are going to subscribe to our free newsletter, and then if you do, it will then begin to come to your email. So it takes about 20 seconds. Go over to kevinsmithshow.com. Subscribe to our K-Files e-zine, that's our free weekly newsletter, and then each and every week, at the end of the week, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you will get your copy of the K-Files e-zine. Now, you might be saying, why is it like Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? Well, because sometimes We have a long process of getting it out. Sometimes it takes a while. We have so many to get out that people's email accounts get slow and things like that. So it takes us a while sometimes. But we start trying to send it out on Friday night. All right, we'll be back right after this. We'll be talking about possibly a new place to live. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some really interesting stuff to talk about. And I know that all of you have been hearing about this new planet that has been discovered. The new planet, well, it's not a new planet, obviously, but it is newly discovered. And it's pretty close by. They're saying that it is very Earth-like, and they believe it to be possibly inhabitable. And so we're going to talk about that tonight a little bit, but we're going to talk about several other things as well. It is open line. That means you can call in, and we'll talk about things that are on your mind as well. But let me say now, for all of you who are new to the Kevin Smith Show, and I know we've got a lot of folks who are listening now up in our new affiliate area, around Elgin, Illinois. A lot of you are at work and you're listening via 1610 AM. And you are having that piped in through the company intercom. Well, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. But remember what I'm about to tell you. I know you're working right now. You can't do this. But remember what I'm about to tell you. If you ever get to the point where you can make a phone call and call in, because I realize you're working, but if you get where you can and you want to call in, it's toll-free, 1-800-289-1092. Now, for those of you who are listening all across North America and you're not at work at the moment, you can call in. 1-800-289-1092. That's toll free. Let me give it to you again. It's 1-800. Now you know automatically, I hope, that if it's 800, that's toll free. 1-800-289-1092. If you live outside of North America and you wish to participate in the show, you can call that number. It will not be toll free, because there's an international long-distance charge, so it's not toll-free, and it's rather expensive, I would say. But you can still participate without spending any money by sending an email to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. That's flash@kevinsmithshow.com. You got to be outside of North America to do that, though, okay? If you're inside of North America, that's the United States and Canada, use our toll-free number. It's there just for you. Caller, you are live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Michelle from Quebec, Kevin.
Hello, Michelle.
How are you doing?
Outstanding. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Well, we even had some weather here that was almost decent.
Almost decent, huh?
Yes, we had 3 days that were over 70.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but now it's got down to about 60 there, and it's a bit of cold wind.
We're going to hit 100 this weekend.
I just want to let you know, because I know you're always interested in the weather like I am.
It's weird.
It's been very weird, eh?
Yeah, it has.
Anyway, I was going to talk about that yacht there they found with nobody on it.
Second one in a week.
Second one? I only heard of the first one.
They found one on Wednesday, and then they found another one today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear about that. I didn't see it on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I ain't doing my job. Well, anyway, no, I thought it was kind of strange because we haven't heard much of this lately. No sense. I know I was very heavy back in the late 60s and 70s there in the Bermuda Triangle. We heard quite a bit, quite often.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the last few years, it's more of abductions and stuff like this, but not, you know, everybody missing and no reason for it. What do you think? Foul play or something else?
I don't know. The one article that I read said that the one you're talking about, the one that was last Wednesday.
Yeah, that's it.
Three people, they were brothers, were on the ship, the yacht. And I don't know, it doesn't explain, but for whatever reason, they're saying that they can tell from forensic evidence they were fishing at the time they disappeared. Whatever happened, happened, but they were fishing. I don't know how they could tell that, but anyway, they just disappeared without a trace. And the yacht was adrift at sea, nothing wrong with it, but the crew was gone. And today, they found another one.
Now, if I understand this right, when you have a laptop, as soon as you shut the cover, it turns off, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't have one, so I don't know. But if anybody would phone in and confirm that, because that's what the funniest thing of it all. All three laptops are supposed to be open. And still on. And I mean, with any banging or anything, if it was halfway shut or something, it'd probably jar shut. But even being open like that, it must have happened awful fast.
Yeah, I would say. And it is quite a mystery. I would say that whatever happened, happened very fast.
And about that new planet they found, I know you were going to talk about it there, but I don't think me and you will see our feet on it.
You don't?
It's quite a ways away still.
But now, you never know.
But ain't it funny that they're still looking hard for all these planets? They're making these seed banks. Now they're even making kind of new plants that are stronger, like prehistoric plants.
You know, as a matter of fact, there is in Canada, there is, and I cannot remember where it is. I saw it on the internet today. But they found some prehistoric pines, pine trees, supposedly extinct for millions of years. Anyway, they were able to grow them, and they're growing them in a greenhouse, and they're under heavy guard, and they're calling them dinosaur trees because they existed at the time of the dinosaurs. I find it very strange.
Well, I got a good feeling about tonight's show. I know it's going to be another great one, so I'll let somebody else phone in with a couple new things, and I'm anxious to hear what you get to say about the new planet, what our other listeners got to say about it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Michelle.
You're welcome, Jeff.
All right.
All right, folks. The telephone number, 1-800-289-1092, is toll-free. It is available for everyone in North America, north, south, east, and west, all across the United States and Canada, toll-free. Now, one of the things Michelle brought up was weather, and I think weather's an important thing. You know, if the weather doesn't do what it's supposed to do, we will not live. It has to rain a certain amount. It's got to have, we have to have a certain amount of sunshine. We need a certain amount of warm weather and a certain amount of cool weather, even some cold weather. If we don't get those things in the right proportions, then we don't have the conditions that we need, that we require, in order to grow the crops that we need to sustain our lives. We forget, because we live in big cities all across North America and all across Canada. Yeah, I know there are a lot of people living in small villages and towns, and there are a lot of people living in rural areas. But the truth is that by the millions, we are living in big cities. When you live in a big city, you forget what reality is. When you live in a big city, you don't grow all of your food. In fact, you probably don't grow any of it. Someone out there in the countryside is scratching the dirt so you will have food to eat. And so we get divorced from the land and we forget. Well, over in China, they are remembering, they're beginning to remember that, hey, in this big, huge city that we call Beijing, there are 2.9 million automobiles and there are factories, and our air is horribly polluted. And we have to do something about that for the Olympics, because we can't have visitors from all over the world coming in here and seeing this polluted air and trying to breathe this polluted air. So we're going to try and clean up our air. Well, that sounds admirable. Sounds like a good thing. Well, here is what they plan to do. What they plan to do, well, first of all, they say that weather patterns for the past 30 years there in Beijing indicate that there will be a 50% chance of rain for both the opening ceremony on August the 8th, 2008, and the closing ceremony 2 weeks later. And there's an engineer with the Beijing Meteorological Bureau by the name of Wang Yubin. And they have a plan. I think it's good to have a plan, don't you? They've got a plan. And what they're going to do is fire some rockets into the air that are loaded with stuff. Primarily silver iodide. And this is to seed the clouds. And they say, don't worry about it. We will force it to rain in the days before the Olympics through a process known as cloud seeding to clean the air and ensure clear skies. Well, there you've got some meteorologists giving a kind of a guarantee that there's not going to be any rain, there will be clear skies, and the air will be cleaner. Considering, well, never mind. I won't make that comment, but the point is that weathermen, meteorologists, don't have a real good batting average, you know. I mean, in predicting weather, they're not really on target all that often. So what do you think about that? There is a case of weather engineering. Do you think it ought to be done? Do you think it is a good thing? And do you think it will work? A lot of scientists are skeptical of that and say they don't think it will work. Another update before we get to the new planet, another update on the Mars Global Surveyor. You know, I've talked about that a lot. The Mars Global Surveyor just sort of disappeared. Well, another report is out now saying that they have determined that it was human error in the programming that has caused it to fall silent. It led to battery failure in the spacecraft. That's what they're saying from NASA. It's an internal NASA review board. I still have the same question that I had on day one. If you think that it's battery failure, answer the question, where is it? If the battery failed, the satellite should still be there, just silent. It isn't. Where is it? Answer that question, and then I'll believe the battery failure. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Please hang up and try again.
Please hang up and try again. No, 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 no. You try again. And when your phone stops ringing and you can hear this show in the background, when you can hear me talking, that's your very first clue and your last one. You made it. Just hang on. All right? 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. But don't you think that that's a reasonable question that I'm asking? I mean, maybe you think it's not reasonable, and maybe you think I should not even focus on that anymore. And if so, you need to call me and tell me why at our toll-free number. I think the big question with the Mars Global Surveyor is, where is it? You know, when they pointed the cameras, the very super high-tech cameras, of the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter in the direction of where the Mars Global Surveyor is supposed to be, they wanted to get pictures so they could see, why isn't it talking to Earth? The fact is, they did, with photographs, explain exactly why the Mars Global Surveyor is not talking to Earth. It's because it isn't there. And, you know, if you're standing around scratching your head saying, I wonder what he means by it isn't there, well, don't wear your hair out. I mean just what I said. It isn't there. They photographed where the Mars Global Surveyor was supposed to be, and it was empty space. The satellite is gone. Now, if, in fact, the programming caused the Mars Global Surveyor to crash into Mars. In other words, somehow it sent it plummeting down to the surface of Mars. Then that's the answer. The answer is it was a programming error. It was a software error. And where is the Mars Global Surveyor? It's in tiny little pieces down on the surface of Mars. That would be an acceptable answer. But at the moment, they're not answering the crucial question, where is it? As long as it's just gone and there's nothing being said about that fact, nothing else they say really matters much, wouldn't you agree? The big, big question for this highly successful satellite is, where is it? See, the Mars Global Surveyor sent back to Earth some 240,000 images of Mars. And they were the best pictures of Mars that we had ever had up until that time. Highly successful, still chugging along, doing its work, and then, bang, it just disappeared. I'm a little bit perturbed that they keep wanting to tell us it was a programming error without telling us where is the satellite. If it's a programming error and it caused it to burn up, the debris, the trash, should be out there in space in the orbit that it was in. But it's not. It's gone. So where is it? I wonder if anybody's going to be sitting around someday looking at Earth, what's left of it, through their super high-powered telescopes and cameras on board a satellite, looking at very, very regular geometric objects like the pyramids and the outline and shapes of skyscrapers, taking photographs of them and then arguing that that was all done by geology, that it's not artificial. I wonder if that's in our future. Now, maybe what's in our future is that there will be no humans left on Earth. Maybe what's in our future is a move to another planet. Some people who have even talked right here on this show have said that that is a plan. I've never seen any proof of that, but some have said that is a plan, a real plan, and that we are, as a human race, going to be existing elsewhere, some other planet. When we come back, we'll start talking about that and the new planet that's been discovered.
Got to go. You can't trust the devil moving, burning so below.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Before we jump on this thing about the new discovery out there, the new planet, we have received a flash message from Australia. It says, "Hi, Kevin. It's known to the Australian government and Coast Guard that high seas piracy has become almost epidemic in the northern seas of Australia. There has been several serious warnings in the past few years by the government to enter these waters cautiously. Most of these pirates, if not all, are based throughout Indonesia. A friend of mine who sails frequently will no longer sail through the northern waters between Australia and Indonesia." Well, that's not a good thing. If I were Indonesia, I would take that sort of thing like very, very seriously. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Australians, though a very patient people, are not going to sit by and just be pirated by pirates from Indonesia forever. Sooner or later, if the Indonesian government does nothing about this to correct it and to clean it up, I would expect, I have no inside information, but I would expect that the Australians will begin to clean it up themselves. You know, that's what happens. If you allow people in your country, wherever you are, if you allow them to continue to cause problems for other countries, and you don't take them out of business, well, the other countries eventually come and do your work for you. It's called occupation. European and American astronomers have been racing each other because they wanted to be the first to say, "We found it, we found it, we found it." Now, let me tell you that the Europeans apparently have won. What they're looking for is New Earth. That's what they're looking for. And it appears that the European astronomers have been successful. Now, it's not completely, totally, absolutely confirmed yet, but it appears that they have discovered a potentially habitable planet nearby, 20 light years away. And you might say, "Well, that's a long way." Well, it is for us humans who, you know, we think if you travel 18 hours across the ocean, that's a long, long time. That's what we think. We're not used to thinking in these big macro distances. We think in terms of micro. But 20 light years is really right next door. It's close. There are people working on ways to travel faster than the speed of light. You may think they'll never do it. But for those of you who think they never will develop a way to travel faster than the speed of light, let me give you a fact or two. First of all, we have all been taught that there is no speed faster than the speed of light, but Canadian scientists were able to make the tops of some electromagnetic waves travel faster than the electromagnetic waves. The electromagnetic waves were traveling at the speed of light, and they made the tops of those waves travel four times the speed of light. We now know there is a speed faster than the speed of light. It's been proven in the laboratory. How about that? For those of you who think that we'll never have any way to travel faster than the speed of light, let me remind you that last year I was talking about, and year before last I was talking about, this search that both NASA and the European Space Agency had, this race to find a new Earth. You've heard me talk about it. Those of you who listen to this show regularly, you have heard me talk about this race. And you've heard me ask the question, do they know something about the future of Earth that they're not telling us? Why is there such an all-out race to find another habitable planet? Why? What do they know that they're not telling us? You've heard me ask that question. And if you think that there's no possibility that we'll ever develop the ability to fly faster than the speed of light, just remember that 2 years ago, I reported to you the information, the articles were on the internet. And I reported to you that there were scientists who were saying, we will find another Earth. And in our lifetime, we expect that there will be photographs of this other Earth plastered all over the front pages of the newspapers of this world, of this Earth. Well, we're there. And you see, when I reported that to you, I got email from people who said it will never, never happen. Kevin, I know that you like to think about these things and you like to hope it's true, but it will never, ever happen. I got emails like that. I'm here to report to you today. It appears it has happened. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show, if you will. Tell us your first name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Kevin in Davenport.
Yes, Kevin.
I think I'm going crazy here, Kevin, with this new planet deal. Why isn't this top news? I mean, why isn't this what's the lead story on the O'Reilly Factor? Right now they're talking about Rosie O'Donnell. Hannity and Combs are talking about Rosie O'Donnell. Every channel, they're talking about Rosie O'Donnell. And they're not talking about the most important discovery of our modern era. It's amazing. What is going on?
Well, they always do this. I mean, if it wasn't Rosie, we'd be hearing about Brittany. Or we'd be hearing about, what's that Hilton chick's name? Paris.
Oh, Paris Hilton.
Yeah, we'd be hearing about one of the bimbos. And, you know, and they do this, and this is the kind of thing, when you hear me say that the American news media does a disservice to us and that we're not getting the news, when you hear me say, here's a great example, and Kevin, I appreciate you for pointing it out. Are you still there?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were good. Yeah. Well, you know, it almost seems like the news that you get from the internet is there's almost like a battle between the internet news and American state-sponsored news. Because, you know, you can get this information widely on the internet. I mean, it's available as soon as it comes out. But I was watching the nightly news at 6 or 5, wherever you're at, and they waited 25 minutes on NBC and CBS. I'm not sure about ABC. They waited 25 minutes to talk about this story, and then they gave it about a two-minute piece. It's just ridiculous how they could, you know, I don't know if this is just just part of their educational process to convince people. I don't know which is worse, the people of our society who refuse to sort of catch on to reality or the media, which is worse, because it's almost like it's almost like they don't want to know about it. They do not want to know that we are not the masters of the universe.
No, they don't want to know that. And, you know, there are people who, I hate to use examples from a long time ago, but, there are people who, sort of, figuratively speaking, still believe the Earth is flat, you know. They prefer to do so. And the news media fosters that kind of stupidity. Now, let me say, you've hit a real target here. I mean, you've hit the nail right on the head. There is a huge battle between Internet information sources and Internet entertainment sources, between the Internet and terrestrial radio and television. 52% of the people who are listening to radio right now are listening on the Internet. So the majority have left terrestrial radio. To fight back, terrestrial radio and Congress have put together several pieces of legislation that in effect cut the legs out from under Internet broadcasting, and within the next few weeks you're going to see thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of Internet broadcasters and independents go under.
That's frightening. That is just frightening.
Bill Gates has aided by forcing Windows Vista on the public, so that any broadcaster who then goes out and has to buy a new system, it comes with Windows Vista. You can't get XP anymore. Windows Vista will not do Internet broadcasting.
You know, they're talking about reinventing the Internet. And I'm wondering if that could be see, you know, 60 years ago, when during the beginning of the modern UFO era, we had our government and our rulers had every right to hide this thing. So we have 60 years of education. Basically, in the 80s, the only way you could find out about UFOs, or up until the 80s, the only way you could find out about UFOs would be reading books. That's about it. And then late 80s, maybe 90s, early 90s, then you've got cable. Every once in a while, there'd be a halfway decent program about the UFO phenomenon. And then in the, in this new millennium, we finally have a free forum, the Internet. So we can talk about this stuff. There are incredible documentaries, four or five just documentaries that'll just convince you right there and then.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got Google and, YouTube, which I think kicks it up a couple of notches, because if anybody wants to get out there and find out the truth, it is available. It's almost like some part of the government or whoever's controlling this wants to get it out, but people are just don't want to know about it, and that's the fundamental problem. But the thing is, this is like a train. This is a speeding train, and it is. We're going to find out the truth about this. I mean, think about what.
Maybe we will, and maybe we won't, because on a sidetrack, there's another speeding train, and that is the move to get rid of the Internet altogether and so-called reinvent it, which means it will be invented along lines that are easy to control.
Well, I don't know, because, you know.
They're talking about.
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying I hope it doesn't come to that, because we're doomed if that's the case. But, you know, I'm sort of addicted to this phenomenon. I just cannot believe, you know, I've got digital cable. I've got about 300 channels, and there's nothing on to watch. So mm-hmm. I listen to a radio program to.
And you can't even watch Rosie anymore. How about that?
Oh, so sad. But then, you know, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of debate about what the UFO phenomenon is. I really think. Now, there's evidence that some of these aliens are not very friendly.
Yeah.
We could very well be dealing with a hostile alien or aliens. And you think about back in the Mayan culture, you know, they were supposedly had technology come from the gods. And there was a lot of blood sacrifices back then.
Uh-huh.
You know, we could be dealing with an alien species that wants to eat us.
We could be.
I mean, that's very possible. Everybody eats, and we could be on their menu. Some of them. So it's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. Kevin, thank you for the call. I'm going to have to cut you loose because we're up against a break. But just remember, folks, there was Kevin, again, thanks much for the call. You make some excellent points. There was a very
popular show at one time. It was called The Twilight Zone. And there was one of the Twilight Zone shows where aliens came to Earth and they said, "We're here to serve men." As it turns out, they had a book called To Serve Man, and when the Earthlings finally were able to decipher the book, it was a cookbook. They were here to serve man. We'll be back right after this. Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
I step off the porch and shade that blinding sun with my hand. Well, I can feel the heat reminding me where I am. I told her I'd wait here till she returned. I never knew how long that would be. You live and learn. I'm doing time in Texas. No prison walls and signs. Spaces, and still I'm trapped inside. The minutes feel like days into this weary man. I'm only heartbroken, restless. Tell me, where's the justice? Doing time in Texas. She said it's no one's fault. Your dreams aren't the same as mine. Find myself, I just need a little time. The girl I knew has never been west of El Paso. I hear she's in L.A. now, and I'm all alone, alone in San Antonio. I'm doing time in Texas, no prison walls in sight. Open spaces, and still I'm trapped inside. The minutes feel like days into this weary man. I'm lonely, heartbroken, restless. Tell me, where's the justice? Doing time in Texas. Now I haven't convinced myself that she's really gone. Until I do, there is no escape from this place that was once our home. I'm doing time in Texas. No prison walls in sight. Only wide open spaces. And still I'm trapped inside.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, we got some big, big news happening out there. And the big, big news, and I mean, this is big. Kevin, who just called in, said that it's the biggest news in our lifetime. Biggest news in modern history. And I think I agree with him. And he was a little bit ticked, you know, because what's really taking all of the headlines is that Rosie is now not going to be on The View. Well, first of all, who watches The View? Not very many. I mean, you know, it's 11 o'clock in the morning or something like that, and, you know, most people are not around to see it at that time. And most people just really don't like Rosie. I'm not here to get into a fight with Rosie like Donald Trump did. But really, nothing she does lasts very long. So, you know, the ratings are not there. That tells you that most people don't like Rosie. Now, those of you who are diehard Rosie fans, well, go ahead. It's a free country. But I think when someone finds a planet that's habitable, that's a little bit bigger news than Rosie lost another show. Maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, to me, it seems that it's far more important than Rosie lost another show. One of the things that I think you have to take into account with the news media and the coverage is that most of the news media are about as rot-brained as the people they're trying to broadcast to. There was a time when the news media tried to lift us up with better information. And they truly were all about the public has a right to know. Well, yeah, I guess we have a right to know about Rosie, but then, you know, they ought to ask this question, who cares? I mean, really, who flippin' cares? But now, another Earth? That's big news. And the scientists, European scientists, have found a planet close by that they think may be habitable with Earth-like temperatures, and they think that it probably will, they'll find that it has water in liquid form and maybe some life already on it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show, if you will. Tell us your first name and where are you calling from.
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Yeah.
This is very big news.
What, Rosie?
No, Lord, no. Oh, no, no, no. I'm trying to stay as much out of Hollywood as possible. I mean, it's just getting so utterly ridiculous that all this silly stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
No, this discovery of a new planet, I was kind of tuned in to the Discovery Channel. I was actually over a friend's house and watching it because I don't have cable right now. And they were talking about it, and we just kind of looked at each other because, fortunately, I tend to hang around with some folks who are a little bit more educated than the mass majority of the folks today listening to the news about Rosie and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And we just looked at one another, and I said, can you just believe what they've said? And she said, yeah. And I said, this is incredible. Now all we have to do is find the means to get there. You know, we need to know exactly.
I think we've got them.
Well, let's hope our government's going to start wising up a little bit and start allowing this information to be given to the average Joe, such as you and myself, and, you know, that we're going to know a lot more about this because this is exciting news. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I could care less about, not that I don't feel that people in Hollywood should make a living or anything, but I'm so daggone tired of, you know, the airwaves being inundated about, you know, Rosie O'Donnell and Brittany. I mean, I wish those ladies well in everything, but I've got my own life to live. I'm not really worried about, you know, what they're going through. What they're going through is what they've chosen to go through.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, and this is so fascinating. I mean, I would love to be able to see a picture through the Hubble or whatever of this planet and see exactly what it looks like. Does it have the same kind of continents that we have? Does it have the same kind of land to water distribution that we have? I mean, could it be a twin for the Earth itself?
Maybe. It's a little bit bigger. It's about 1.5 times the size
of
Earth.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Really? Were they able to find out what kind of atmosphere it has? I mean, is it as similar to Earth's atmosphere?
They're working on that. They don't know yet. And but this is the, you know, they're saying this is the first step in the direction of finding another Earth, and this may in fact be another Earth.
Fascinating. I just caught, like I said, a real quick glimpse of it because I stopped over her place. I had to drop something off. Does it have a singular sun like ours has, or is it a binary system? Or
no, it is in orbit around a red dwarf.
Oh wow!
And the red dwarf, it's because of that, it's much cooler. A red dwarf is much cooler than our sun.
Oh yes, yes.
And so this planet is a lot closer to its star, and it orbits that star every, I think they said, 15 days.
Oh wow!
So
that would be on the rank of maybe like, I don't know if we could call it Mercury, but.
Well, if you turn the heat of our sun down significantly,
mm-hmm.
and just turn the power down so that it becomes a red dwarf, then where we're sitting right here, we would freeze.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you could move the Earth in a lot closer to our sun if it were a red dwarf. And we would be sufficiently warm then. So it's a balancing act.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And now, they say that the star, which, let's see, what do they call it? I think it's Galice or something like that, 581.
Hmm.
They're just calling the planet 581C. Yeah. Gliese, Gliese, 581, that's the star.
Like probably named after the astronomer or whomever discovered it.
Yeah. Okay, now that's the star. They're saying that if you were on this planet and were to look up at the star, at its sun.
Its sun, right.
It would be 20 times the size of our moon when our moon is full.
Oh, my. That must be an astonishing sight. I mean, if there is life on that planet, I mean, some kind of a sentient life form, and they're kind of, you know, locked to their planet as we are now, I mean, that must be an absolutely beautiful sight. I mean, I would love to see something like that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing. And you know, I would hate to think that if we went and started, took humans over there and started a colony, I would hate to think that we took Rosie.
I think she needs to stay here. Yeah, I don't think Rosie would go. Another thing is, too, it's unfortunate, but a lot of the people that I encounter on a day-to-day basis, they're locked in their own little world, so they really don't want to go. They don't want to go out and explore. And I think another thing is too. I think mankind as a whole, and I can't speak for everyone. I'm just saying the majority of mankind as a whole is afraid of the future. They're afraid.
Oh, yeah.
To look at what can be in the future.
Well, that is true. And I'll tell you something, Debbie. I'll tell you something that's really a problem. And we're into a break, so we're going to have to run. But one thing that is really a problem is the fact that people tell themselves horrible stories about the future, scare the devil out of themselves about the future, and then believe it. The future is probably not going to be near as bad as you think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a lot better than you think it's going to be. All right, folks, we'll be back.
10, 9.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring 5 of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles, and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Kevin Smith here.
Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. Caller, if you will.
Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we're talking this evening about, well, it's open line, but I'm talking primarily about this new planet that's been discovered. Scientists say they think it is inhabitable, and it's close by. Caller, you are on the line. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's assume that it is found to be habitable by humans.
All right.
Let's assume we have the means to get there.
All right.
What kind of people will go? What qualities will they be in possession of?
Well, I'm pretty sure they will send elites.
But would you be willing to go yourself?
Absolutely.
Same here.
Absolutely. I'm on. Stop and think about this, Brent. We have proof that there are speeds faster than the speed of light. We have scientific proof of that, laboratory proof. True enough, it was simply the crest of the wave, if you will, those electromagnetic waves. It was the crest of the waves that outran the rest of the waves, but it did it at four times the speed of light.
Yeah.
Proving that there are speeds faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
All right, now let's assume that there is intelligent life on that planet, and let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that they're a million years ahead of us.
Okay.
If we're just now finding out that you can make something go four times the speed of light, isn't it possible that they learned how they can go four times the speed of light? And if they did, that trip is only 5 years.
Who says they're limited to four times the speed of light?
Well, I didn't. Yeah. I just said, isn't it reasonable?
Yeah, it's reasonable.
Sure it is. And, the trip is not, the distance is not a hurdle.
Yeah.
I think that we have the technology. I don't think that we have the spacecraft built that could do it. But I think we have the technology, the pieces that we could put together and cause it to happen. I think we could do it right now.
I think it was a couple of years to build it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you go? Yeah, you said you would.
Absolutely. If they were to call me, we'll say NASA's doing it. Mm-hmm. If they were to call and say, okay, here's the deal, Kevin. You've been shooting your mouth off about NASA now for a while. So we've got this spacecraft headed over to the new planet, 581C. We figure there's about a 10% chance of surviving this trip, but we've got one seat left. Do you want it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's, I'd like to take a survey. Who out there in your audience would go?
You would?
I would, yeah.
Yep, I would too. And I think quite a number of people would. And for different reasons. Some people, oh, this Earth is so bad, I just want to get off of it. Well, we all feel that way from time to time. I would want to go, however, not because this Earth is so bad, because, we, you know, when we go over to the new planet, we're taking all the reasons this Earth is so bad. It's us.
Yeah.
But the reason I would want to go is for the thrill and the excitement of stepping foot on a new world. Can you imagine what that must be like?
Talk to Neil Armstrong.
Some people say he didn't, you know.
I know.
Yeah. All right, Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep, goodbye.
Bye.
All right, folks, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. And, well, how about you? Would you go? How about you? Up in the Northwest, would you go? How about over in Florida? You're in Florida, you're used to seeing the space shuttle take off. Would you go to this new planet if there was a way for us to get there? Would you go? I would. I really would. Can you imagine stepping out on your front porch over at 581C? You step out on your front porch in the morning, and there is a sunrise 20 times the size of our moon. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
It's Michelle again.
Yep.
Back.
Hey.
Hi, Kevin. Hey, I was just thinking, listening to Brett there. You know, there's one thing that it just hit me. All these visitors we get from other places, let's say, they're not coming here because of the water. They're not coming here because we found a planet now like ours. That means there's got to be more than one. Which, you know, so it leaves the question, why are they coming here?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that.
I think they're coming here to see Rosie.
ain't that awful?
Yeah, I'm serious. It must be that because the news media has made such a big deal out of it.
Well, I get up every day and I watch the BBC,
uh-huh.
and this Canadian News and American News,
uh-huh.
and the headlines are always about the same,
yeah.
you know. But like your previous caller said, you know, when it comes to a big story like this, you get about 2 minutes, and yet they bring in somebody, not like a Hoagland or something, that knows something about things, has been studying it for years,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking through it a different way. And they bring on these characters that almost, you know, they make it too light what the subject really is. This is something big. You know,
they're duty-bound to bring on the least common denominator.
I told you I was looking into lunar mining, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it's funny what I found, that they're putting courses into colleges for lawyers for just this purpose, for moon, for mining, you know, the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already getting them ready. And other places are working on that, tools like in Lake Balsac, you know, for drilling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems that everything's coming to a boil. I don't know. It seems funny that, you know, we talk about this stuff. We hear about it all the time. But when it comes right down to the people and money, not much is coming out of there. You know, it's a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, little funny things. And thank God for your show, because if you didn't get it from your show, we wouldn't know nothing.
Well, I appreciate that, and we try. We try. You probably remember hearing me a couple of years ago when I was talking about this, and they were saying back then they're going to find another Earth, and
we're going to see pictures of it splattered all over the front pages of our newspapers. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like I said, I talked about the yacht before, because nothing was taken from it. That guy that gave you the flash there, he was talking about the pirate. But
yeah,
that yacht, nothing was sold out of it. The laptops were there, everything was still there. So it really wasn't pirate. Because, I mean, let's face it, free laptop, that's a good $50 in your pocket.
Well, yeah.
You know, so that's what made it so strange, that nothing was missing. All their gear and all their stuff and anything valuable was still in the boat.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like pirates, does it?
No, but I don't sound like anybody, because even if you found their boat, you know, you phone the Coast Guard, maybe there's a pack of smokes, you might have a smoker, a drink of rye or something, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
People look around, you know, when they don't know there's somebody, eh?
That's right.
And so, I mean, it's very strange that nothing was upset and nothing was missing.
Well, I would have to agree. It appears they just vanished. Just vanished.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there. I just wanted to phone up, though, and bring out that about, you know, they're all saying about the aliens coming here for our resources. It's kind of looking like our resources are running out, and they ain't coming for them. So it must be for the life on the planet.
Maybe we are the resource.
You know, you were talking before about Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
They have given us a couple of good shows, like Stargate and V.
Yeah.
You know, from one side, that technology helped us, and the other side, they came and said they were going to help us, but really, they just wanted supper.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it, lots of farming going on here. Who says that these people that ain't a million times more advanced than us, like a good roast of Mike or something.
It may be. You never know. You never know. Michelle, I want to thank you for the call. We have to move on.
Okay, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call.
All right, folks, 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. It's big news. I can't think of any news bigger than the news that a new Earth may have been found. Well, yes, I can. If they were to announce a new Earth has definitely been found and it is inhabited by intelligent beings. Now, that would be bigger news. It may be that the reason we're hearing about Rosie and all of the weird stuff and the trash stuff, it may be the reason we're hearing that right now, instead of hearing about this new planet, maybe they want our attention off of this new planet for some reason. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin, it's Debbie from Columbus again. Hey, sign me up.
You want to go, huh?
Oh, heck yeah. I'm like you. I love to explore new things.
All right.
I really do. I'm the first one. If I'm with a group of friends and we're going cave exploring, I'm the first one in.
All right. I'll sign you up. I'll tell NASA you want to go.
Yeah. When you were talking to Michelle, Brent and I are just kind of IMing each other as the show's on. We kind of do that. He kind of replied and he said, and I know Brent's listening, remember Charles White? He said that the Tall Whites said that there were several Earth-like planets in the neighborhood that currently do not have any form of sentient life.
Yeah, that'd be Charles Hall.
Yeah, Charles Hall. I think that's who he meant, Charles Hall. I'm sorry, and I should have said Charles Hall. I'm just reading what he IM'd me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very true. That's very true. So,
I had not thought about that.
I think it would be a lot more exciting to go exploring for a new world than, you know, finding out what show Rosie goes on next, you know?
Yeah.
That's a lot more exciting.
Or which, you know, which day of the week Brittany's going to check into rehab and which day of the week she's going to check out.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, I wish those ladies well. I don't have anything personal against them or nothing. But, you know, it's unfortunate sometimes when folks choose the wrong way to try to live their life or to try to express how they feel their life should be lived, it's unfortunate because, don't get me wrong, I like to watch Jerry Springer for its entertainment value, and I like to watch Dr. Phil and things like that, because at least Dr. Phil tries to, or Dr. Ablo, Keith Ablo, try to get to the root of a person's problem and try to get them help. I think that's kind of interesting to watch. But
well,
as far as I know, Rosie, if she wants to get another show, fine. If she wants to retire, fine. If she wants to go into obscurity, fine. But I'm more interested in this new planet.
Well, I am too, and I'll tell you something. The bimbo factor is, look, that's getting very, very thin, and they're playing it over and over and over. And the fact is, you know, as long as there's calamity in their lives, these Janes are getting publicity, and they don't deserve it. Debbie, thank you for the call. Look, they don't deserve it, but these scientists do. These scientists deserve to have their names plastered all over the news, and they deserve to be interviewed. This is front page stuff, but it's not making the front pages. And, you know, Rosie is. I tuned in tonight. I never do, but I tuned in tonight to see what was going on with the conservative talk shows on TV. I never watch those. Really, I don't. One thing, I don't have time. Secondly, I'm just not very political. But I tuned in. And they were all talking about Rosie. One even had an interview with Donald Trump about Rosie getting bumped off of The View. Meanwhile, back in the real world where real things happen that really matter, we have a new discovery of a planet that may be inhabitable. Caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. You're live on the air. All right, folks, when you call, your first clue that you made it, your very first clue is we answer the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, please, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is John in North Carolina.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Outstanding. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Listen, I'm not very intelligent. I didn't do good in math while I went to school, but 20 million light years away now, that planet...
No, 20 light years.
20 light years.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a pretty good way, right?
It's 120 trillion miles.
Okay, but what I was getting at is, say, if that planet ceased to exist, how long would it take... for that light to be extinguished to where we couldn't see it?
20 years. So it may not even be there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You'd be taking a heck of a chance, you know, trying to go to something that you know is not there if it's 20 light years away. That's pretty good distance.
Yeah, but you know, the sun may have disappeared 8 minutes ago.
Well, that's true.
No, that is a good point. It's an excellent point, and that is that we're seeing this light, we're discovering this planet now, but it could have ceased to exist any time within the last 20 years. It may not be there.
Well, that's exactly true. I think, you know... unless we develop some fantastic technology, I don't think it would be feasible to get on a spacecraft and try to go there right now. But I'm like you and the rest of your listeners, though. Man, wouldn't that be a trip?
It would be. Now, here's what I would really like about going over there. I love to fish, and I would love to drop a hook in the water over there and see what you get.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Kevin.
Okay.
I know there's other callers.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Have you considered what an alien fish might look like? Have you considered what an alien fish might taste like? Wow.
It may be, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we start finding habitable planets all around us? Wouldn't it be cool if we were to start finding out, you know, we were able to travel there and explore them? Wouldn't it be cool if we were able to start finding out that life everywhere looks pretty much like life everywhere? In other words, yeah, they got fish over there and they look pretty much like fish here. That would be cool. That really would. Now, let me say this. When we talk about it being a habitable planet, we're really, we're homocentric here. You understand that? We're talking about it is habitable for us. That's what we're talking about. We Homo sapiens are in our search for life out there. We're searching for planets where life could exist. We're kind of homocentric, meaning that it's we're looking for things where we could exist, where we could survive. I think there's probably life on virtually every planet. Really, now you know, there are a lot of people who would just laugh at that and say that's nuts. But look at the life that grows at the bottom of our oceans. I mean, on the very, very bottom, you know, where the pressure is so crushing that we can't even send a sub to the bottom. And yet, there is life there. There are things living there. There's no light. There's little to no oxygen. There are poisonous gases spilling out of the earth and into the ocean at that point, and yet there are living creatures there. We call them extremophiles. They live in extreme conditions. But the point is, they live. And so I think that it's quite possible that on these other planets, and not just planets, but for instance, some of the moons of planets, you know, Saturn has moons around it that are planet-sized. Titan is one of them. I see no reason why there could not be what we call extremophiles living on Titan. Now, there are people who say, well, that's not possible because, you know, the atmosphere is all methane. Well, things evolved here that breathe oxygen, which is one of the most corrosive elements in the universe. It is absolutely corrosive. Oxygen will bring down a steel building. Yeah, it will. It's called rust. That's rust is another word for oxidation. Oxidation. It means invasion by oxygen. So we live and breathe one of the most corrosive elements in the universe. Highly corrosive. But we breathe it. Who's to say some form of life could not evolve that breathes methane? Just because you don't breathe it doesn't mean something doesn't. Would you agree? I think most of you can see that. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think that's crazy. But just keep in mind that on the ocean floor we have discovered plant life and animal life that lives, breathes, eats, and thrives in a soup of sulfur and hydrogen and carbon dioxide and no light and no oxygen. You can't live there, but it does. So I think that probably every planet is habitable by something. I think virtually every planet is, you know, probably has some form of life on it. We may not know how to look for it. We might not recognize it when we see it, but I think it's probably there. And here's a planet that is, we're saying, possibly habitable. That means habitable by us because we're homocentric. We center our views of the universe upon us. It's a trait that we've got, you know, and we've been doing it now for millennia. But, man, this is just huge, huge news. Now, one of the things that, you know, I would be interested in, I think it was Debbie who said, you know, does it have the same land-to-water ratio that we have here on this planet? And, you know, are there plants? And, you know, we don't know those things yet. But, you know, one of the things I think that would be interesting would be... it is very close to its star. Its star is a red dwarf. I wonder about ultraviolet light. How much of it is there? And because, you know, ultraviolet light is also very damaging to our type of life forms. Yes, I know some of you pay money to go lay in an ultraviolet light bed so you can have tan skin. Well, it's very damaging to the cells of your skin. Very damaging. Ultraviolet light is damaging to human skin. How much of it is over there on 581C? We'll be back in just a moment. When we do come back, we'll take more of your calls. Would you go? Would you be an explorer? Would you go to a new world, a new earth?
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back, and we are taking your telephone calls at 1-800-289-1092. What do you think about this? I think that the discovery of a planet that they're saying possibly is habitable is some of the biggest news you could possibly hear. And yet we're watching and we're listening as all kinds of inane nonsense is making the news. Now, is this planet, has it been determined that it is definitely habitable by humans? No. What they're saying is it is potentially habitable. They think, the information they have right now, is that this particular planet has the right temperatures. It has Earth-like temperatures. One of the interesting things, too, about this, until recently, see, this planet orbits a red dwarf. Now, until recently, they have thought that red dwarfs would not possibly have any planets around them that could, you wouldn't even think of them being habitable. Well, now they're saying this one appears to be. This one appears to be habitable. One of the things is about 80% of the stars that are near Earth are red dwarfs. So you see, if you cut out the red dwarfs and you're only looking at other types of stars, more intense stars like ours, like our sun, then you're only looking at about 20% of the stars that are out there. 80% are red dwarfs. Now, here is a planet that they're saying, you know, this one looks like it's habitable. And it's around a red dwarf. What that means, with 80% of the stars that are around the Earth, that are in our neighborhood, 80% of them being red dwarfs, that opens up a whole bunch of possibilities for other possibly habitable planets. One of the callers referred to Charles Hall, who said that the tall whites that he talks about, the tall white aliens that he talks about, had said at one point that there are several habitable planets nearby, and that they were willing to transport people to one of those planets or something like that. I do remember him saying that. I don't remember exactly what the quote was. But that's right. He did say something like that. And they maybe were referring to this one. I don't know. It's quite possible that they were referring to this one. The people that discovered this planet refer to it, it's officially 581C, and but the people that have discovered it, and when they talk about it amongst themselves, they just call it C. Javier Delfasse of Grenoble University in France said that liquid water is critical to life as we know it. Because of its temperature and relative proximity, this planet will most probably be a very important target for future space missions dedicated to the search for extraterrestrial life. On the treasure map of the universe, one would be tempted to mark this planet with an X. Oh, no, that's important. Now, of course, there are always naysayers, and there are astronomers out there that are saying, hey, now, you know, be cautious. This may not be a habitable planet. Now, one of the things that I think you can expect to see is if it turns out that this is not a habitable planet, I think that you're going to see news media at that time go front page with ha-ha-ha ridicule of the scientists who discovered it. And they will claim that these scientists said it was habitable, and as it has turned out not to be habitable. And it'll be a big ridicule of those scientists. I think you can expect the news media to stoop that low while they're feeding us nonsense right now about Rosie. Oh, what's her name? But anyway, I think that probably will happen. But, you know, when it does, just remember that these astronomers who have discovered this planet have not said that it is habitable. They have said it is potentially habitable. It appears to be habitable. Now, if it does turn out to be habitable, it just may be that the news media will finally report it. I think if it turns out that it is habitable, and that means that it's got Earth-like temperatures, and it's got water, and it's got plant life, and so forth on it. If it turns out to be like that, it's going to be front-page news. But just remember, that's probably going to be a year, 2 years down the road before we know any of that. Remember that you heard it here, and not from your major news media. Remember that your major news media was nasally reporting on Rosie. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call if you have a comment or a question. Here's some more important news, moving now away from the planet. I'll still take calls about the planet if you wish to call in. But here's some more important news that you're not hearing about. Back in 1967, scientists discovered that there is a drug produced by yew trees, spelled Y-E-W, that is very beneficial in the treatment of some forms of cancer, and the medicine that is made from that is called Taxol, I believe. Let's see if I can find it. Paclitaxel. Paclitaxel is what they call it. And they can commercially harvest this from the yew trees. They can also do that with some hazelnut varieties. So here's nature producing a substance that is very beneficial in the treatment of some cancers. What they have discovered, however, is that the it's not just the yew trees. It's the dirt. Where yew trees grow, they load the soil, the yew trees load the soil with this substance. So just from the dirt around the trees, they can harvest the, what was it called, paclitaxel. I think that's highly important because it means that now that they know this, it's a whole lot easier and less expensive to get the amount of the substance harvested that they need in order to convert it to the medicines that we need in order to treat certain types of cancer. And so it should lower the cost of those medicines. Don't you think that's important? Or do you think Rosie is? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
It's Michelle again from Quebec.
Uh-huh.
I just want to make my vote to go because, see, you guys ain't leaving me behind, are you? Seeing Brett going and everybody else, I might as well get in on the act. You'll need a cook.
Yeah, and you know, the thing we have to watch out for now is We have to watch out for a hoax. We have to watch out for those in some government somewhere on this planet who do not like this show, saying, oh, if all of you folks are willing to go, guess what? We do have one going tomorrow. Just to get rid of us.
You know, Kevin, Brett brought up a good thing, and you did it right at the beginning of the show. You said that if anybody would go to this planet, it would be the cream of the crop. But you know, the cream of the crop never get anything done. They just make the plans. If they don't take some of the people, you know, all down-to-earth people to do the work, you know, so it's going to be a very massive, you know.
If you sent nothing but the elites, and they will all be demanding to go if this planet is about to die, the elites will be demanding a seat on board so they can go to whatever new planet there is. But guess what? When you get to that new planet and you unload all those elites, you're going to have the biggest war you have ever seen when you start expecting one of them to pick up a shovel.
That's right. That's just the point. When's the last time you see anybody, any of the elites pick up a shovel?
On the other hand, it's the elites who plan wars, and there will be peace on Earth.
But it's still good for our generation that we are not forgetting our forefathers and looking towards the future. You know, always ready to go over the next mile.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Take that chance.
Well, yeah. You know, I think we need human colonies on the moon. I think we need human colonies on Mars. And if this thing over 20 light years away, if that planet over there is habitable, we need to load up and start that way.
You know the only thing that bothers me?
What's that?
Is I listen to a lot of shows like this and your show, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hear many young people going in. And, you know, they're the ones that get to pick up and hear this kind of stuff because they got to get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, and you, not only that, you don't hear many people phoning in because most people are absolutely terrified of freedom of speech. Terrified, absolutely terrified. My God, somebody will hear me speak.
Well, my mom was listening to you before, and mm-hmm. as she left, she left to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
She says, that's all we need is another planet to screw up. But, you know, so you look at it, you know, from two ways, eh?
If you send humans, it will be corrupt.
Well, you know, but I mean, I like this positive idea of everybody phoning in, and like Brett said, to vote on it, because, you know, there's a big market out there. People want to get out in space.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, people will. I mean, you know, like, let's face it, we're kind of old for it, but there are people that are, you know, there's so many people that's talking, there's no work or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's mining, you know, once they get it down there, you know, it's not bad. It's not bad if you figure it out. Everybody can use a pick and them spacesuit. If you're going to go fishing in a spacesuit, I'm sure somebody can mine in one.
Well, if this planet is habitable, you don't need a spacesuit.
Well, I'm going to go and let somebody else phone in, but I just want to put my vote in.
All right. We'll reserve your seat on board the shuttle that goes.
Well, okay, yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it would be big, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, that would be huge. What do you think? The first shuttle is about to take off and go over to another planet and drop off a colony. What do you think? Is it going to make the news? Or is it going to be Britney doesn't wear underwear? What do you think? If it's left up to the Earth's news media, I think I know which one gets reported. All right, folks, we have to take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll continue. 1-800-289-1092. That's the telephone number for you to use to call in if you're not a chicken.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Thank you. call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back here at the Kevin Smith Show. We have a caller on hold, so let's go to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Evening, Kevin. This is Roy from Roanoke.
Yes, Roy.
I had to call in. You made a challenge, so I had to call in.
I'm glad you did.
All right. Well, here's my vote for it. I wouldn't go.
Why not?
Why not? Well, some of the articles I've read online already, it's apparently this thing is 50% bigger than what Earth is right now.
Yeah.
And which, of course, would mean gravity is about 2 times more stronger than it would be here on Earth. Where okay. I'm a big guy, I wouldn't be able to move around. Gravity alone would have kept me tied down.
I think they said if you weigh 180 pounds here, it would be about 240 there.
Hmm.
I weigh 220 here. What would that be there?
I don't have a calculator. It would
be close to 300.
Yeah, well, some of us has already passed that benchmark.
So that's why I would want to sit on the bank and fish.
Yeah.
And just do nothing, just fish. Oh, mercy. Yeah, there are some drawbacks, of course.
Yeah.
Not mentioning
the trip out there. It could take 5 years. And, of course, being in a weightless environment, you wouldn't have that much muscle to begin with.
That's true. And maybe you wouldn't weigh but 80 pounds, earth pounds, when you get there. So that'd be about 120 pounds when you stepped off the ship. See, that might work.
Yeah, liquid diet all the way, I guess.
Now, there would be some drawbacks, but,
yeah.
You know, just generally speaking, if we found an Earth-like planet that was habitable,
mm-hmm.
And we knew that it was habitable, and I had a shot to go and be on that planet, I'm gone.
Yeah, it sounds like an adventure. I would definitely, you know, I'm a Star Trek fan. I would love to do something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, until they can actually look through a telescope, I'll just keep it at arm's length right now.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. No problem, Kevin.
You bet.
Bye.
All right. The telephone line is open. We have time for one, maybe two calls. 1-800-289-1092. Big news. Big, big news. And getting very little airplay. It's like it's no big deal. It's also big news, these biologists and chemists that have discovered that the yew trees, and we've known since 67 that these trees produce substance that we can harvest and use against cancer, in a fight against cancer. We've known that. But what has been discovered is that they excrete this from their root system and therefore into the dirt around the trees. So it's not just the tree that can be harvested, it's the dirt too. And so, and in fact, extracting it from the dirt is easier than extracting it from the trees. Now, one of the things that may be possible would be if they could get it to the point where they simply harvest it from the dirt and do not have to cut down the trees. Then the tree keeps living and producing oxygen and cleaning the air and producing the substance that we need to harvest, putting it into the dirt. Now, see, that's big news, isn't it? It is if cancer is a big deal to you. I think cancer is a huge deal. Huge. There are scientists who have absolutely, they're working in cancer research and have absolutely no intention of finding a cure because there's more money in finding prolonged treatments. There are some that think that way. But there are some
who truly are looking for a cure. Meanwhile, if there is a way to produce the treatments cheaper and make them more available to more people, that's big news, huge news, not getting the play, the airplay that it should. I don't care if Rosie is on TV or not on TV. I don't care if she ever comes back, frankly. Don't care. But this news about a new earth, this news about new ways to get the substances we need to fight cancer, big news, big news. And I hope that you will join us each and every evening here. I hope if you're not a permanent member of the Kevin Smith Show nightly audience, that you will become one, because we really do try to focus on things here that are important. Some of the things we talk about here you may think are not important at all. You may think some of the things we talk about are silly. But I can tell you something. What goes on inside your head and inside your heart is far more important than what's going on outside your body. Because it's inside your head and inside your heart that you create your responses to what's going on outside your body. And so to a very real extent, what goes on inside of you shapes the reality, doesn't create it, but it shapes the reality outside of you that's impacting you on a daily basis. Here on this show, we talk about a lot of things that are interesting, and some people say, well, you know, you ought to be talking about politics or conspiracies or, you know. Well, see, none of that stuff is going to help me be better. But the things that we talk about, I hope, help us to be better. Don't you think that's important? I do. I think it's very important for me to wake up in the morning and be better tomorrow than I was today. And those who are not better tomorrow are the ones who contribute to the corruption of the world. Maybe you agree with that, maybe you don't, I don't know. But I hope you do. I truly believe that. I truly believe that if what we're doing today does not make us better humans, better people, then we're wasting our time and we ought to be doing something else. I truly believe that. If what I'm doing today does not exhibit that I am better than I was yesterday, then I am repeating the same old garbage that I had yesterday. Progress means I moved further down the road. Some days I may move a mile and some days an inch. However, if I move at all, that's progress. So we talk about the strange, the unexplained, the paranormal, the things that science can't explain and therefore laughs at, until there's finally enough evidence that it slaps scientists right between the eyes and knocks their theories dead cold on the ground. But they laugh at it until then. That's okay. Go ahead and laugh. They're wrong. We're right. Down through history, establishment scientists, you know, the status quo boys, they've been wrong every time. Name once, just once, when status quo was right. They have been wrong every time. Newton was a smart guy, but you know what? He was wrong. We didn't know that until Einstein came along. Einstein's a smart guy, but you know what? He's probably wrong about some stuff too. We'll find out as we continue to grow.
My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. I'll be back tomorrow night. You be here too, okay? Until then, so long, everybody.